Curran State on 90.5 WKAR. She's got a heck of a legacy, and coming up Wednesday, Veterans Day, she'll have her own musical, Rosie the Riveter, that iconic World War II figure with her red polka-dotted bandana, arm raised, making a muscle, and her signature phrase, "We can do it." Curran State's Jamie Paisley spoke with the creators of the musical and joins me now. Do you have your bandana, Jamie?
Well, no, but I mean, I do have polka-dotted socks, and I hope that counts. yes, Rosie and the need to keep the war effort going had a big part to do with bringing women to Michigan in the 1940s. And a couple of weeks ago, the Willow Run Airport in Ypsilanti summoned a bunch of Rosies to try and break a world record. Now, Hillary Cohen, the director and co-artistic director of Ann Arbor's Wild Swan Theater, will be presenting this Rosie the Riveter musical. Well, Hillary and the Rosie cast were on hand at the Willow Run Airport for all of this.
This is a hoot. It's unbelievable that there are people very interested in this iconic figure of Rosie the Riveter. And young women like the idea of the kind of reenactment of the figure of Rosie, like dressing up as Rosie the Riveter, like the idea of celebrating what these women did during World War II. And at Willow Run, a group of women decided to try to go for the Guinness Book of World Records to see if they could gather the most women ever, all dressed exactly the same as Rosie the Riveter. And evidently, some group of women in California were holding the record. So to break the record, the Willow Run Rosies needed at least 1,800 women to dress up and assemble at the Willow Run factory. But they were, I think it was 2,076 Rosies dressed up. And there they all were, Rosies as far as the eye could see. It was phenomenal. It was really fun. And the cast, our cast from our play of Rosie the Riveter, went up and entertained all of these women and sang songs from the show. So it was great fun. It was really a wonderful afternoon.
With that Rosie world record safely back in Michigan, director Hillary Cohen set her sights back on tomorrow's opening night of the Rosie the Riveter musical being put on by the Wild Swan Theater. The Wild Swan prides itself on creating programs viewable for a wide audience, and for Rosie the Riveter, the focus was
ages 9 through 99, and we know that we'll have some school performances where kids will be bused, and we have middle and high school students being bused to some of those performances, but we also have as part of our mission to make sure that everybody is included in the performances, so the performances will be signed in American Sign Language so that people who are deaf will have access, and we also have backstage touch tours and audio describe our performances for people who are blind, and we use a theater that with very good wheelchair access, so we want to make sure that people across the board with different kinds of disabilities are also included in our audiences.
Now, the cast of Wild Swan's Rosie the Riveter musical is comprised of four women sharing roles, and as you would expect, having a female-centric cast is similarly vital to the goal of Rosie the musical.
There's lots of good stories out there where boys or young men are the leads. There's no shortage of good plays like that, but there really are a shortage of plays where young women or girls figure in a large part as the leads. And for our audience, we want to make sure that all the young women, the girls in our audience, see good role models that they can pattern themselves on. And this is a great story. It's a true story of what women did in World War II, took over working in these factories, building the women at Willow Run, built the B-24 bomber, and it's a fantastic story. It's a true story. It's very exciting to see what women accomplished. And so we know that it's a terrific way for girls to see great role models. And it's also great for young women to have super roles to perform as actresses. There just aren't enough good roles for actresses. So that's another good reason to be doing it. And it's also great to celebrate Michigan history and the roles that they really did play. So we're celebrating Michigan history that way too. This idea that women stepped up in a way that people didn't think they could, because at that point there wasn't this notion that women could take tools and climb up into the fuselage, build the fuselage, and then climb into the fuselage and onto the wings and build the wings. And the pictures are just phenomenal. And these women were turning out one of these B-24 bombers an hour or as one of my colleagues likes to point out, every 55 minutes, round the clock.
Now, was director Hillary Cohen involved in interviewing some of these original women whose stories are at the core of this upcoming Rosie the Riveter musical?
I was not. I wish I had been, but our playwright Jeff Duncan did most of the interviewing.
Seven or eight of them, yes, and went to various, you know, places. I got a lot from them. A lot of the stuff that's in the story comes straight from them. Well, then I modify it, you know, but absolutely. And there will be some, I don't know if all the shows or not, I hope so. Certainly the Saturday matinee, there will be some Rosies there. Well, they were from Southeast Michigan, yeah, and they worked in the area. They didn't all work at Willow Run. One worked at the Packard plant, one worked, at the Chrysler plant. But I focused it, I just had them all working at Willow Run. It was the largest factory in the world under one roof. I mean, it was 1 mile long. In the show, we use a photo of the assembly line, and I mean, you know, it's like as far as you can see are these airplanes.
In his interviewing the various women who moved to Michigan to help with the World War II effort at home, playwright Jeff Duncan heard numerous personal anecdotes.
A really charming one. A woman's husband was stationed in England, and he was in the service, and he sent her two packages of chewing gum, and she split them with 19 friends. And that really caught me. First of all, the gum was that scarce that it would be a treasure. And second of all, it never occurred to her to keep them to herself. You didn't do that then.
But for all of the true tales that Jeff Duncan received in interviewing the original Rosie the Riveter women, not everything can make it in the final musical.
I mean, I've written over 25 plays for Wild Swan, and these characters are more real to me than any I've ever done. They're almost like people to me. And I'd like to work in some more of that. We wrote some scenes that we decided not to use because of time constraint. And like one of them, I had her introducing her friends toward the end to this guy that she's started dating. And there were these clubs that would open for them when they got off work, the factory workers. And even those on a swing shift, I mean, they go in there and the clay would be in there from, say, 6 in the morning till 8, you know, having a couple drinks and dancing. This is in the morning. I mean, they would open just for them so they could have a little relaxation after their shift. And I wanted to work in some of that, but there just wasn't time, wasn't space. So we may do, we're talking about doing an expanded version of this story. And in that case, I would hope to get those in.
Now, tomorrow's premiere of Rosie the Riveter isn't a standard stage play. It's very much a musical. And how did playwright Jeff Duncan collaborate with song composer Brian Buckner?
It was different from any other script I've ever written. It was more difficult. But I didn't have a storyline in mind. I just had episodes, and I wasn't sure how they'd connect and all that kind of thing. I said, I can't keep waiting, so I just started writing scenes. And then I would write lyrics. And finally, we figured out connections and got it all gelled. But then Brian would take my lyrics and set them to music, but he would also modify the lyrics. A couple songs he wrote, one song, the opening song, he wrote entirely himself. Because I've written some other musicals with Brian and with others. The music's finally more important than the words. It makes its demands. The melody comes along. So you modify the lyrics, as far as I'm concerned. You modify the lyrics to suit the melody. Most of the time, I wrote the preliminary lyric, I guess you could say. And then Brian would modify it to some extent, to a great extent, to no extent, dependent. It's a real collaboration.
It's real 40s sounding.
Again, director of Wild Swan's Rosie the Riveter musical, Hillary Cohen.
It's got this close harmony. All the four women are all outstanding singers, and sometimes they sound like the Andrews sisters. And then there's one song where it's just beautiful gospel, because there's a character who's African-American, who she's part of the great migration of African-Americans who came up from the South and came to Detroit looking for a better way of life. And there's all these different musical threads that all are recognizably 40s, but come together. So it's just a wonderful score.
And when it comes to the actual Rosie the Riveter poster, playwright Jeff Duncan left me with one last fact.
By the way, that was a model who from Ypsilanti, and she worked at the Willow Run plant.
You can see The Wild Swans' Rosie the Riveter musical, which opens tomorrow, Veterans Day, and runs through Saturday at the Towsley Auditorium, located on the Washtenaw Community College campus in Ann Arbor, just a few miles from the Willow Run Airport. Tickets and more information about Rosie the Riveter are available online at wildswantheater.org. For Current State, I'm Jamie Paisley.